Luke chapter 5. It happened that as the people were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God being preached, he was by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships that were standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. So he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and asked him to just push out a little bit from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So there were so many people. The pressure on Jesus was absolutely huge. Now, when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Push out deeper into the sea and let down your nets for some fish." But Simon replied, "Master, we've worked all night long and have caught nothing, but at your word I will let down the net." So then, following the word of Jesus is quite against what we naturally might think. Now, this man was a fisherman. He's like, "Jesus, you're a carpenter. You're not a fisherman. I know more about fishing than you do, and I know that there's no fish out there." But he humbled himself before the word of Jesus. That's what we have to do, because to really accept the word of Jesus means that we go right against our own natural sort of inclinations and our own natural wisdom and sense of "I know best," because we don't. So when they had done this, they caught a huge multitude of fish and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners who were in the other boats that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So they were really being rather selfish, getting as many fish as they could. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." He realized that he'd been selfish and so obsessed with getting as many fish as he could that he broke his net, and both him and his friends nearly sunk their boats. They were so greedy. And he realized this. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not. From now on, you will catch men." In other words, there's a man on his knees before Jesus saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus says, "Right, okay, now you're going to go out and catch men. You're going to go out and be a preacher, because to be a preacher is to be a fisher of people. When you go out distributing New Testaments or tracts or preaching the gospel, you are like a fisherman letting down his net into the sea, and you catch all kinds of different fish. And so to be a preacher, you've got to be humbled, and you've got to realize that I'm a sinner. And to be that humble that you think, no, I'm just not worthy to be around you, Jesus. And once you get to that point, that is the qualification for being a preacher. That is when you can really be sent out. So it's not a case of finishing a Bible college or getting a load of knowledge and training. It is coming to your knees, really feeling, "Jesus, I'm not good enough to be around you." Right, good, okay, then he can work with you. So when they got their boats back to land, they forsook everything and followed him. They just left even their boats, all the fish, their nets, just left it and followed Jesus. And it happened, while Jesus was in a city, there was a man there full of the plague of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. So Jesus touched the leper. Now, you weren't supposed to touch lepers. If you touched lepers, you became unclean. So everyone would have been saying, "Jesus, you're not clean now." And it just shows that Jesus is not afraid to identify himself with us in all our weakness and dirtiness. And Jesus told him not to tell anyone what had happened, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. So much the more went their fame about him, and great crowds came together to hear him and to be cured of their various illnesses. So there was in the law of Moses various laws about if you're cleansed from leprosy, then you must offer such and such a sacrifice. But I guess very few people actually obeyed those laws. So here's this man, turns up with the priests and says, I was a leper, but I got healed. They're like, what? Yep, and I need to offer the sacrifice according to the law of Moses. So that would have been a great witness to the priests. When we read about these priests and the Jewish leaders, we tend to think, wow, what an awful lot. And the wonderful thing was that Jesus kept on trying to preach to them, in this case in a rather indirect way. And it says in the Acts of the Apostles that after Jesus rose from the dead, a great crowd of priests were obedient to the faith and got baptized. How amazing is that? That actually his patience, even with the Pharisees, there are Pharisees who got baptized and became Christians. And that these are people that we would not have been patient with. We just said, oh no, you're just religious hypocrites, bigots, etc. So Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness to pray. You remember how when he cured all those people at the house of Simon, there was all these people around the door and he cured them, but early in the morning he got up and slipped away to a deserted place to pray. It just shows that regular prayer and time alone with God really must be part of our lives. So he does it again. He goes to a deserted place and prays. And it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees sitting by who had come from every town of Galilee and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And men brought in a bed a man who was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And they tried to bring the man in before Jesus because they wanted to put him in front of Jesus to get cured. But they couldn't find how they might get in because of the crowds. So they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling of the roof on his bed, right into the midst before Jesus. So in those days, roofs weren't made like they are now. In those Middle Eastern countries, you could quite easily open them up. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." So you see that this man's sins were forgiven because of the faith of his friends. Now what that means is that we should be praying all the time for the forgiveness of other people. We can make a difference. It's what James says. He says that if you see your brother who sinned, therefore you should pray for him and his sins will be forgiven. So we really can make such a huge influence. The scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who's this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he said to them, "What are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier for me to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, arise, take up your bed and go to your home." And immediately he rose up before them, took up what he was lying on, and returned home glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God and said, "We have seen amazing things today." So Jesus was not God himself. He was the Son of God. But he says, the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins. God had given him that power, and he was called the Son of Man. And it was exactly because he had our human nature that that's why he's able to get forgiveness for us, because he knows how we feel and how things are.